This morning, if you would turn in your Bible with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. Mark, chapter 5, we're going to be looking at verses 25 to 34. It's the story of a woman who had a very difficult problem. She had what's called here an issue of blood, or a flow of blood, for 12 years. And we want to learn together this morning how one touch of Jesus can heal our sin-sick souls. So let's bow together for prayer. Our Father, we thank you that we can come here this morning and realize that you are with us here present, that you know all the needs of each of the people here in this place, that you are able to perceive and understand what to do in relation to each one of them, but you would have them to touch you. And we want to understand what this means, the touch of faith. May you bless us in our understanding of this passage, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Mark chapter 5, verses 25 to 34. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Now the purpose of the gospel is being written down for us, as is quoted in John chapter 20, verse 31, is that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. And the purpose of the Lord's performing these mighty miracles that are recorded in the Gospels is not only to bear witness to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, but they are also given in order that we might be shown the fact that he is the great physician of our soul and our body. All who will trust in him will know that reality. Whatever spiritual ailment you have in your soul is well pictured in the diseases that Jesus healed. It's this woman's faith that we want to speak of here this morning. She is called here by Christ one of his spiritual daughters. Faith that brought her into right relationship with God, and this grace of faith at work in her heart gave her the power to conceive in her mind that she could be physically healed by Christ if she could simply touch his garments. Hers was a faith which would draw upon Christ's strength. And so we must ask ourselves this morning whether we have the same kind of faith as she did, whether we will seek to draw upon Christ's strength for our healing, the healing of our soul and our body. Now I want to press upon you this truth in the passage that we're studying, that the gospel message is a message of great mercy to sinners everywhere. The person who has the kind of faith that we're talking about will spiritually come up and touch the Lord Jesus by believing in the gospel. And they shall indeed come to know the reality of Christ's power, working this miracle in their soul. The person who has saving faith is convinced that they can be healed of the greatest of their afflictions, that is, their sin. And so we want to look at this woman's faith to see, first of all, that her faith in the earthly physicians was disappointed. Second, that her faith in Jesus consisted of a secret touch. And third, that Jesus perceived her secretive touch. And fourth, that Jesus commends her faith in order to her being made well. First of all, this woman's faith in the earthly positions was disappointed, verses 25 and 26. This woman's disease was a particularly difficult one, both for her and for the earthly physicians that she sought. She's described as having a flow of blood for 12 years, a hemorrhage of blood, an issue of blood. It was a secret, a private, very frustrating and probably humiliating disease that had never healed. She had gone to many doctors over those 12 years, had spent all that she had, our text says, in being able to find relief. And even though she had used these means, yet she was no better, but rather grew worse. Now, I don't think that these words are a condemnation of a person's going to the doctor for help, or for advice, or for treatment. Jesus himself says in Matthew 9:12, that it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. Jesus there is commending all good physicians, which leaves us thinking that they had tried many treatments or procedures which had caused her to suffer at their hands. They may have been good physicians and had not intended that she suffer, or they may have been those who were simply trying to make money off of her, trying to understand her disease, but yet not being able to cope with the sheer difficulty of her case. They may not have really had any answer for it to begin with. Whichever, you and I need to understand that she had placed her faith in the many physicians that she went to, people who tried to help her. She spent all of her money trying to find a cure, and she was disappointed. She only grew worse. So we need to understand something very important here at this point. Our being effectually helped by the treatments of doctors is entirely in the hands of God. God often uses good physicians and medical personnel to minister whatever wisdom that they have accumulated by their own observations and by applying the wisdom of other men whom they have learned from. They use the skills and the wisdom which God has given to them, but the success of their procedures is entirely in the hands of God. And we must remember that God is the author of life, that not all diseases can be cured by men. We need to acknowledge this. And on account of it, we should seek God in relation to every treatment that we receive from physicians. Sometimes it's true that a person may seek the physicians, but they do not seek God. And we should understand that it's only God who can give healing to you. You see an example of this in the life of Asa, the king of Judah, in 2 Chronicles 16:12. It says there, "And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe. Yet in his disease he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. And so he died." But turn over with me to Psalm 103. Psalm 103 and verse 1. And you'll find some very precious words here. Psalm 103 and verse 1. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies." You see here how we ought to bless the Lord for all that he does for us in the healing of our diseases. Well, you'll say to me, if the Lord heals all of our diseases, then why do they sometimes linger with us, and why do we still die? And the answer to why they may linger is in order that we might learn to glorify God even in the midst of our troubles. And the answer to the second question is that the death of the Christian is his full and final healing, which comes in two stages. All the presence of sin in your life will forever be removed when you die, having been a Christian, because Jesus Christ your Lord has died, that it might be removed from you at that time. At your death, as one who has faith in Christ, first your spirit will be made perfect in righteousness, and then later on the day of the resurrection of the dead, the day the Lord returns, your body will be glorified and reunited to your spirit. Forget not this benefit, O Christian. Not all the guilt of your sins is forgiven through Jesus Christ your Lord, but there is also the healing of all of your diseases, the worst of which is sin in your very nature. The beginning of this healing of your soul is when you're converted to Christ, when He heals your wounded and sin-sick heart by the gift of life, the gift of regeneration. You may be constantly weak and debilitated in your mind and heart, so much so that the essence of your being is continually being wearied, and you feel heavy laden because of your sin. But when you come to Jesus, you'll find healing in life and power to overcome these weaknesses of mind and heart. Now, secondly, this woman's faith exercised itself in a secret touch, verses 27 and 28. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. You can see here it was the nature of this poor woman's affliction which rendered her unclean in her own mind. It would have rendered her unclean in the minds of all the other people around Jesus and around her had they known of it. And this is the reason why she came up behind Jesus in the crowd. She did not want to have to explain her condition to the crowd or to the Lord Jesus. But she did believe what she had been told about the Lord Jesus, that many who simply touched him had been cured in the past. And so why not her? Truly, this is good reasoning. Notice how she speaks within herself in faith. If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. So saving faith is a grace which grows within the heart. And it's based upon our thinking of what Christ will do for us if we come and take hold of Him. This woman's disease was secret to her, but she rightly believed that Christ was so full of virtue, so overflowing with power to heal, that if she even touched the hem of His garment, that the healing power which was inherently in Him would flow from Him to her. And no one, she thought, not even he himself, would care or know that she had obtained what she sought. Her reasoning was realistic enough in a human sense, but she did not reckon upon the fact of our Lord's divinity. She had heard about him from others. She knew that he had healed other people, and therefore she believed that he could heal her. But what she did not realize was how much Christ was aware of her particular condition. Her view of Christ's greatness and power was true. She knew that he could do this great thing and heal her. And this is certainly where faith will begin. This is how you and I have to see the Lord Jesus now. He is overflowing with power, what the old King James calls virtue. She was convinced that if she was able to touch anything close to his person, that she would draw on this power. She was drawn to come up and touch his garments because she knew and believed that he had the ability to help her. She didn't understand, however, that Jesus could heal her without her touching him, without her touching his garments physically at all. She didn't understand that by this touch, she was entering into a personal spiritual relationship with him. But all these things took place in her mind and heart, not only for her benefit, but for ours as well, so that we might better understand the truth about faith. Many of us, when we first begin to believe, we see Christ in this very way. We hear the report of what he has done for others. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word concerning Christ. And we realize that some grave problem exists in our soul, which secretly plagues our heart. And this problem causes us to know that the life force of our soul is being drained away. And so we have a disease. And it's a spiritual disease of mind and heart. And we may have tried all the remedies of men to help us, which we believe might relieve us of our inward distress, our sense of guilt, and shame, our feelings of continually falling short of God's glory, we may have applied to many doctors of religion of various sorts, philosophers, psychologists and psychiatrists, priests and ministers who have worldly wisdom. And we find that we have not been helped at all, but rather our heart and our mind have become more unsettled. And so we determine to touch his garments and secretly see if we can take a blessing from the one whom we've heard so much about. It's the case of the defiled and unclean sinner touching the pure and holy Jesus by faith and finding themselves healed. This is what it means to be born again. This is what it means to come to have saving faith. You take an interest in Christ because God has been working in your heart to give you life. But you know also that you must exercise your faith. You must come to Him in order to be saved. It's an obedience of faith. And so I want you to see that any sinner whose sins of heart and mind have plagued them for many years may come to Jesus even now. Come secretly in your heart, in the midst of this congregation. Take this blessing from Jesus. You, by faith, may come to the secret place of your heart and touch the hem of His garment and know the touch of our Lord to your sin-sick soul. But this study of the importance of faith is also for those who are already believers. The word hem is actually not found in Mark's Gospel, but it's found in Matthew 9:21. It's translated in Luke 8:44 as the border of the garment, but in the original Greek, it is the word kraspido. R.C.H. Lenski says concerning this word, like all true Jews, Jesus wore the shimla, a large square cloth that was used as an outer robe, and it had tassels at the four corners according to the requirement stated in Deuteronomy 22:12. The tassels were attached to blue cords, and the Pharisees loved to make these tassels large and prominent in order to display their compliance with the law. The two corners of the shimla were thrown back over the shoulder so that two of the tassels hung down behind. In one of these, Matthew tells us the woman touched. End of quote. Now you and I need to apply this touching of Jesus spiritually to ourselves if we would come to a greater strength in living our Christian life to God. So turn with me over to Numbers chapter 15. Numbers chapter 15 and verse 38. It says here, "Speak to the children of Israel and tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, to put a blue thread in the tassels on the corners. And you shall have the tassel so that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord to do them, and that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined, and that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy for your God." The children of Israel were instructed to have these tassels on their robes that they might look upon them and remember all the commandments of the Lord. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the only person who has ever kept and fulfilled all of God's holy law. He is the fulfillment of the promise of God that the one believing in Him will find a Savior, will find Him bringing them His renewing and strengthening life to their soul day by day. This is what is called by theologians imparted grace, the grace of Christ, which heals your soul day by day from every kind of spiritual harlotry, the wandering of your heart into forbidden areas of sin. This powerful grace does that very thing, keeping you in a worshipful spirit, keeping your heart inclined towards obedience. It's in believing that the imparted grace of Christ will make you whole, that you come to understand that exercising faith in Christ will stop the flow of blood in your soul. Perhaps there's a number of people here this morning who have sensed the plague of their own heart, as Solomon calls it in 1 Kings 8, verse 37. What are we to do now in our own days to touch the Savior, since He is in heaven, exalted high, and not physically present with us now? He is spiritually present and here with us now, and so we're to learn to pray and cry aloud to Him. Solomon prayed to God for the people, and he said, "When there is a famine in the land, pestilence or blight or mildew, locusts or grasshoppers, when their enemy besieges them in the land of their cities, whatever plague or whatever sickness there is, whatever prayer, whatever supplication is made by anyone or all your people, when each one knows the plague of his own heart and spreads out his hands toward this temple, then hear in heaven your dwelling place and forgive and act and give to everyone according to all his ways, whose heart you know. For you alone know the hearts of all the sons of men, that they may fear you all the days that they live in the land which you gave to our fathers." Brethren, these principles of prayer are still true today. This is the secret touching of Jesus. If you can but touch the hem of his garment, you shall be healed. You must believe that when you know and sense the plague of your own heart, when you pray to him, that he will give you the grace that you need to stop this plague, to dry up the flow of it. And he will do this by the Holy Spirit's striving in your heart, working in your heart, based upon what the Lord Jesus did for you at the cross. Christ's power was not intrinsically in his garment that day. It was intrinsically in him. When you believe in him today, it's not his garment that you touch, but it is his actual power, his actual virtue that you touch and draw upon. The emphasis of faith is not your work, but your believing in him whom you are touching. You will be forgiven of your many sins upon your confession of them, and you will find the grace and power necessary to have a healthy spiritual life. This woman found it immediately. And so, according to your faith, it shall be done for you. Now, third, Jesus perceived her secret touch, verses 30 to 33. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But the disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Now, I hope that you'll understand that Jesus knew at the moment she touched the hem of his garment that someone had touched him. Even though the multitude was thronging him, he felt and knew the slightest touch. And so you should understand that it's the same way today. The Lord Jesus knows now instantly when someone reaches out to touch him spiritually. He knew then when his power was being drawn upon, and he knows now when his power is being drawn upon. In this case, he wasn't about to let this dear woman simply slink off into the crowd to think that there was not something more that he had to give to her. She had not understood that Jesus was so very compassionate that he would have freely given her this blessing for the asking. But he also wanted to give to her the assurance that what she had done was right. She thought that she was in trouble because she had so secretly and quietly come to take this blessing. She thought that she was going to have to pay for it. She did not yet know how great was the love of God towards her, the greatness of the gift of salvation which was being given to her. But he was going to let her know. She was in fear and trembling since she knew what had happened to her. It says that she came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Now you remember that she had nothing to pay him with for all that he had done for her. Could the cost of such a cure ever be calculated by her, seeing that she'd already spent all that she had before this? What had happened to her was as if she was stealing this blessing from Jesus, she thought. She did not yet understand that this healing was all of grace. It was not of works. And so she falls down before him and she tells him the whole truth. And you see, it's good for you and I to have these same kind of dealings with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Perhaps you do not know him yet as your Savior. Perhaps you have not understood that life is more than being delivered from earthly dangers and difficulties and physical sicknesses. And perhaps you've never understood how full of sympathy and mercy and love our Lord Jesus Christ is. He would have you come to him even now and tell him the whole truth about the disease of your soul. It was with fear and trembling that she came and told him the whole truth. You know, there's going to be many times, dear Christian, in your experience, when you will look at the reality of the remaining corruption of your heart, those secret sins which no one knows about but the Lord, and you will cry out in the agony of your soul, "Why are these thoughts in my heart? Why is it that I do not love God and people around me more than I do? Why is it that I'm not a more holy Christian?" But you will find that if you will come to him and fall down before him and tell him the whole truth, that you will find nothing but mercy. This is what it means to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You realize that it's God who is at work in you, both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. Therefore, the plague of your heart is stopped, is checked, and the fountain of sin stops its flow. So let us touch the hem of Christ's garment in prayer. Let us see that no man or earthly position can ultimately remove the plague of our hearts. Only Jesus can do so. And then let us continually confess that God is good to have given us Christ. Then fourth, we need to see the way in which Jesus himself commends this woman's faith. Verse 14, he says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Now notice that our Lord calls her daughter. She is one of God's dear children. She was one of Christ's own spiritual children, he being the eternal Father, as he is called in Isaiah 9:6, the Father of eternity. God the Father himself was the one who had given her this faith and had drawn her to come to Christ seeking for help. It was the Holy Spirit's powerful working which gave her the ability to believe that she could be healed if she could just touch Christ's garments. But now she understood that her faith had brought her much more than the healing of her body in this life. Her faith had not only stopped the flow of her blood in her body, but it had brought her into this beautiful relationship of trusting in the Lord of glory. He healed her body, but the Lord Jesus also spoke peace to her soul. "Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." In Matthew and Luke's gospel, there's an additional statement that Christ makes to her. He says, "Be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well." The intent of Christ working in relation to the faith of the Christian is that they would be of good cheer. It is that you would be thankful and joyful, and that your countenance would be lifted up because Christ has brought saving strength and healing to your heart, and he continues to do so day by day for those who are trusting in him. It is your faith that makes you well. It is not your doubts. It is not your fears about yourself. It is your faith in the grace and power of Christ to change you and make you more like himself, so that you will see all of your days to the end of your life as a Christian, that which will comfort and guide you through death itself and into everlasting life, that is, touching Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we understand now that it is a simple touch of you by faith that saves the soul and transforms our heart and takes away the dominion of sin. But now we also understand that when we are made whole by the new birth, that day by day we need you to come and deal with the defilements of our heart, the plague of our heart. We pray that you would do so moment by moment as we confess our sins and as we look to you for grace so that we might change to become more righteous people in your sight. We know we can be no more righteous than we are in justification with that perfect righteousness which you have, Lord Jesus, but we would be more righteous in terms of imparted grace being given to us and our living that out. That is, keeping your commandments and doing that which pleases you and living by faith in you. So give us that precious grace that we need day by day and strengthen our hearts to see you as our portion in this life and in the next. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.